take your Bibles out, turn to Psalm chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. We're in the Summer in the Psalms series. And let me kind of tell you where I think I preached on Psalm 1 three or four summers ago. And I went to Dylan this past week and I said, hey, I'm really feeling led to Psalm chapter 1. I think I've done it recently. And he's like, well, not recent enough that I remember it. So I think you're good. And I was like, thanks, Dylan. I appreciate that. But Psalm chapter 1 is often called by commentators the front door to the Psalms. Okay, and so our big idea today is this, that a life rooted in Jesus, everybody say Jesus, is directed by God's word, sustained by God's grace, and secured by God's covenant love. And from that life, the Holy Spirit produces in us, who wouldn't want these things, hope, peace, and joy that endure every season. I was talking with a couple of folks recently, and they were just struggling with some things, and so I went to them and I said, hey, I want you to take the next 28 hours, and I want you to do this and this, right? I just want you to take the, because they were telling me, hey, we want to get past this. We want to get on the other side of this. We want to get better. And I said, okay, I need you to take this time frame, and I've challenged you. I want you to do this. Well, 28 hours went by, nothing. 36 hours went by, nothing. 48 hours went by, nothing. And then all of a sudden I saw them again, and they didn't even remember the conversation. They didn't remember the challenge. They were like, what did you want us to do? And as I was driving away from that conversation and that interaction, I thought of the man by the pool of Bethesda. You may remember, we preached on this a little more than a year ago in John chapter 5, where there was a paralyzed man. Scripture calls him an invalid, who was by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And many of you know the story. For those of you that don't, the pool would get stirred up, right? The pool would get stirred up. And every time the pool would get stirred up, the first person in the water would be healed from their ailment. And so this man was sitting by the pool of Bethesda, and all of a sudden Jesus walks up on the scene and looks at him and says, what are you doing here? And so the paralyzed man tells him, I've been sitting here, but every time the pool gets stirred up, I've got no one to put me into the pool. And Jesus looks at him and says, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And the man said, well, yeah, of course I want to get well. And so Jesus just heals him, says, get up, take your mat, and walk. And I kind of thought to that perspective in these couple folks that I was talking to, and then in relation to the church today, there's a lot of conversation in the Big C church today, all around the world, all around the country, around the state, almost any pastor I talk to, as I talk to educators, as I talk to parents, as I talk to a lot of people, there's a theme in all of this that leaders are trying to figure out. And let me kind of tell you what it is, and I don't mean any offense by this. I think that there's a dangerous slippery slope here to this message of legalism, and just hear me out all the way for the next 90 to 120 minutes before you jump to that conclusion, okay? But because I don't think we're going there, and I think part of the avoidance of the perception of that is the reason that we don't go to these places. But the theme is this, the theme that I've heard is this, that I want my kids, I want my classroom, I want my church, I want my team and my workplace to grow up. To grow up. To grow up. Have you ever been, I was tending to the lawn last night and was thinking about this. Okay, grass grows so fast, and then it doesn't. Bless its heart. But I was tending to the grass, and I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this as I was weed whacking last night in my yard, and I was thinking about how, you know how you have an idea, or you have a thought. you have something where you just think, man, like this would be awesome if I could have this. And then like 2 months, 6 months, 2 years go by, and all of a sudden you see that thing and you're like, I had the idea first, right? Like that was me. Like I had the idea first, right? And so as I've been thinking about this, God has really put on my heart for about the past 10 months for us to grow up into Christ, to grow up into spiritual maturity. You've heard me talking about it quite a bit. And now it's almost like every sermon I listen to this summer, pastors are talking about this. And then this past week, it happened. I saw a book title where somebody beat me to the punch of writing the book of growing into spiritual maturity, which is really, if we think about it, the Bible, but that's a whole nother conversation. And so where am I going with this? My question for you today as we look at Psalm chapter 1, the front door to the Psalms is this. In Leviticus and 1 Peter, there's a command, a calling. Be holy as I am holy. Be holy as I am holy. And my question for not the church, the Big C Church of the world, my question for you this morning, as I'm preaching here today, is this question. And don't say anything. Don't elbow. Don't nod. Because I think that's the natural response, but I want you to really, really think, does my life reflect my response? My question for you today, for all of us today, do you want to be holy? Do you want to be holy? I think we say it. I think we, but in the same way as I was talking to those couple folks a few weeks ago, right? They said all the right things. I want to get better. I want this to change. I want this, this, and this, right? But here's the reality. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Right? And if we don't change anything about the way that we're living, if we're not changing anything about the way that we're talking or acting or spending our money or using our gifts or those types of things, then guess what? Nothing will change about our spiritual maturity or our holiness. This man sat by a pool for 38 years. Nothing changed until Jesus stepped on the scene and said, pick up your mat and walk. And my concern for us, my fear for us as a people in 2026 that are doing our best to follow Jesus is that we want all the benefits of following Jesus and none of the discipline. We want all the benefits of following Jesus. We want the blessing. We want all of this. We want to avoid that. We want all of these things. We want all the benefits, but none of the discipline. Because the call is to be holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 19:12, 1 Peter 1:16, if you want the references. So let's read Psalm 1 in its entirety, and then we're going to come back. I've got three main points, three takeaways, and then a big risk. Sound good? How's that for a teaser? All right, Psalm chapter 1, starting in verse 1. We good? Man, I miss y'all. It's good to be back. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight, everybody say delight, is in the law of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? The delight would be in the law of the Lord. That's some interesting words. We're going to talk about that for a few moments here in a little bit. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night, thinks about it, ruminates over it. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. In all that he does, he prospers. Here's the transition. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God, I pray today that you bring clarity, that you bring wisdom, that you bring direction and that you call us to a life worth living for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. So we're talking about a godly life, a holy life today. The first thing that I want to point out to you that the psalm talks about is the direction of a godly life. Look at your neighbor and say, direction. Direction, the direction of a godly life. Here's the first thing that we've got to recognize. Everyone, every life is being shaped. Every life is being shaped. We are all being shaped by something, right? If you look at the first few verses here, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Right? And so Matthew Henry, who's a commentator, he points this out, that Satan, the enemy, leads people downward gradually. We don't take a hard right toward negativity. We don't take a hard left toward a bad decision, right? We get there gradually. We drift, and as JoJo mentioned last Sunday, none of us drift towards godliness. When we drift, we're drifting away from God, right? Small compromises, little by little. I don't know if you spent much time on a boat this summer. I haven't. Hint. But a boat rarely sinks because of one hole, right? It sinks because of slow leaks that are ignored long enough to begin to sink. The Christian life is often won or lost through small daily decisions or disciplines. So not only is every life being shaped, but every heart has a teacher. I want you to think about this, right? Who's discipling you? What's discipling you? News, entertainment, politics, friends, social media, scripture, right? The question isn't this, whether you're being formed. The question is who or what's forming you. I don't know if you guys heard the news. Jaylen Brown got traded from the Celtics. It's kind of a shocker. I haven't seen you since then. Probably a good thing. But it all, like the week leading up to that, people were sending me snapshots, screenshots, all these different things. And as I was kind of researching it and looking at it, I was like, man, okay, we have Giannis. And then we didn't have Giannis. And then it was like, okay, what's real? Right? And so, because there was all this fake news about who we were getting. I mean, LeBron was coming to Boston for a hot minute, according to my phone, which would have been tragic for the health of our team. That's a debate for later. Okay? The question isn't whether you're being formed. The question is who or what is forming you. And I want you to notice verse 2, because verse 2 changes everything. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord, not duty. Delight. Notice that. Not duty. Delight. The believer, the one who is following Jesus, delights in God's word because there he enjoys communion with God himself. Meditation simply means this, chewing on truth, repeating it, praying it, living it. And so I want you to think, who perfectly delighted in God's word? Not David. We see David fall, not Moses. We see Moses going back and forth, not Peter, Jesus. Long before Jesus preached righteousness, he lived righteousness. And so here's the reality. We don't pursue scripture to earn God's love. We pursue scripture because we've already been loved. We pursue the things of God because we've already, out of the overflow and the outpouring of the grace of God. And I know the reasoning why we talk ourselves out of delighting in the Word of God, right? And I get it. Well, I don't understand it. Well, it doesn't make sense to me. Well, this or this or that. Well, here's the thing. I don't understand IKEA furniture directions at all. Like, you look at it, and it's, I mean, it's, every time Kristen looks at me, it's like, we're going to IKEA, I sink into a depression. Because I'm like, I'm going to spend the next month of my life figuring this thing out. Right? But we figured out a rhythm. We figured out a routine. We've done it. You know why? We've bought it. We're not going to let it sit in the corner. We've bought it. We're going to figure this thing out. They're not going to take it back the way that we've finagled this thing now. We got to figure this out. Right? And so it's not the understanding or the thing. It's the discipline to say, this is the person I'm going to be. Deciding that God's word is something that I'm going to make a part of my life, and I'm going to figure it out. And if I can't figure it out, I'm going to find some people that do. I'm going to sit with some people that know. I'm going to sit with some people that have been there. That's why the church is such a beautiful thing. Because as you look around this room, pastor numbers full of 800 people. There are people who have been through what you're going through right now. Find them. We are 1 month and 6 days away from leaving our daughter in a dorm and then turning around and driving 12 hours. I've never done that before. Ever. Never. How many of you have left a kid at college? I need you. We need to have all the coffee in the next 1 month and 6 days. Right? Do you see what I'm saying? I've never done that. I don't know the feelings I'm going to feel. I'm questioning as a dad and as a husband how I shepherd my family through that experience. Right? But some of you have. That's the beauty of the church. We don't just dismiss it and say, well, there's nobody to get me into the pool. Well, do you want to get well? Do you want to understand? Do you want to have the discipline to figure it out? Everyone is being shaped. Everyone's being shaped. And so again, the direction of a godly life, immersing yourself in the word of God, delighting in the law of the Lord. And I know, like, I don't delight in speed limit signs. But I have learned that there are intense consequences if you don't pay attention to them. Right? And so we delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on that law day and night. Number two, I want you to see the stability of a godly life. The stability of a godly life. This is the heart of the message today. So just listen in for the next little bit here. The psalmist uses a tree. They are like a tree planted. Everybody say planted. By streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. I want you to notice, and we've talked about this when we were talking about John 15 and abiding and all of those things. Trees grow slowly, don't they? Quietly. I told you I was tending to the yard, and all of a sudden last night I heard that dreaded noise, right, when you run over something with the lawnmower, and then all of a sudden you just kind of close your eyes and flinch and just like, what's about to happen, and then you kind of slowly open them and figure it out. I found a new root last night that I didn't know was there. I've never run over it before. I don't know if the blades are lower or what, but trees grow slowly, quietly, right? Here's the deal when it comes to this in the person that's pursuing godliness. Faithfulness usually grows unnoticed. Faithfulness usually grows unnoticed. Faithfulness usually grows unnoticed. Most of what makes a tree strong, no one sees. We talked about the root system of the redwoods recently. Right, and how they all band together under the ground and hold each other up, right? No one sees that, but it's there. And so as you think about what the psalmist uses next, planted. Jojo talked about being planted last week into the house of the Lord, right? But it's an important word. And I want you to notice or think about how the tree didn't plant itself. Get this, grace always precedes growth. It's by the grace of God that we get to be here. It's by the grace of God that we've found one another. It's by the grace of God that this gets to happen. And so I want you to know, your growth, your holiness doesn't start with you. You're not that great. We got to recognize that. As a Christian people in 2026, we could use some more humility. Recognizing none of this begins with us. None of this begins with me. I'm not that great. You're not that great. Get this. God plants. God waters. God grows. God puts those people in your life. God gives you those growing experiences, those moments. God gives. You respond in discipline and faithfulness. But it's by the grace of God that any of it gets to happen. It's by the grace of God that any of it gets to happen. Believers continually receive fresh supplies of grace from God. I want you to think about this when it comes to Jesus. Jesus lived beside these streams. His communion with his Father never broke. As we've been preaching through the book of John, we see that Jesus often mentioned his Father. When temptation came, what did he do? He drew from the Word. When suffering came, he trusted the Father. Not my will, your will be done. He trusted the Father. Because we are united with Jesus, his life becomes our source. Not imitation, union. And there's these streams of water. See, God never promises drought won't come. You're not always going to feel like talking to that person across the aisle. I get it. You're not always going to feel like coming into church. You're not always going to feel like opening your Bible. You're not always going to feel like praying. God never promises that drought won't come. What he does promise is a source that's deeper than the drought. That's deeper than the drought. Number three, I want you to notice the security of a godly life. Look at verses 4-6. He's giving you the other side here. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So he's comparing and contrasting the tree and the chaff, right? The tree, as we've talked about, is rooted. It's stable. It's fruitful. It's known. The chaff is rootless. It's weightless. It's restless. It's blown. It's lost. And I want you to get this. The issue isn't morality. It's identity. The issue isn't morality. It's identity. And then you notice in verse 6, kind of the closing punch of the psalm, so to speak. For the Lord knows. Underline that, star that, highlight that, mark it in your Bible, and remember this. For the Lord knows. He knows. He loves. He watches. He keeps. God's knowledge means his preserving care. And so what does that mean for us this morning? God knows your fears, your griefs, your hidden struggles, your unanswered prayers. You are never unseen. You are never unseen. I was texting a pastor friend of mine, dear friend of mine, down in Charlotte, North Carolina last night, and that's going to make more sense to you in about an hour. I'm just kidding, I think. But we were texting last night. He's preaching this morning, I'm preaching this morning, and I was texting him for something, and then he texted me this morning and just said, look, man, I'm struggling today. And all I could think about and all I could respond to him was this morning. I see you. I see you. I can't go down there and fix what he's struggling with today. All right, he's got to be faithful to the call that God has on him this morning. And he's going to be. He's going to be. He's probably just getting into his message right now. Their service starts at 10 a.m. Can't wait to listen to it. But what I can do is I can say to him, hey, I see you. I've been there. I've felt that. I know what you're dealing with this morning. His congregation is about 50, 60 people. And he's like, I've got 5 families away on the same Sunday. He's like, I'm going to preach to 20 people this morning. And he's struggling with that. And I'm like, bro, I got it. I know. I see you. But man, God's going to use that message. Sometimes we just want to be seen, don't we? We don't need to be fixed. We don't even need to be helped. We don't need to be bailed out. But sometimes we just need to be seen. It's like that study that was done for folks affected by disability that were nonverbal. Right? And they talked about all the things that all the ways in which to help them. And when they were sitting down and they were having an episode, right? That the best thing you can do, remember this? Is just sit on the floor with them. Sit on the floor with them. Because what are you doing in that moment? Right? Our initial reaction, anytime somebody falls down, right, is to try to pick them up. Anytime anybody's crying is to hand them a tissue and tell them to stop crying, right? But sometimes the best thing you can do is just go over to them, sit down with them, say, hey, what are we gonna do here? How are we feeling? Because in that moment, guess what? They're seen. They're seen, they're known. And here's what I'm trying to say today. God knows. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to justify. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. So, Psalm 1, before we get to the takeaways, is not ultimately asking, can you become this tree? Because right, that's kind of what we think about, right? Well, I want to be that tree. I want to be planted by streams of living. I want all these different things, right? The question is asking this. Where are you planted? Where will you be planted? Jesus fulfilled Psalm 1 through his death and resurrection. He plants us in himself as a result. Union with Jesus, not self-improvement, but transformation. And so the 3 takeaways for you today are this. Number 1, I want you to examine your roots. Kind of sounds similar to some of the things JoJo was talking about last Sunday. But what voices shape you? What delights you? Where do you run when life hurts? Examine your roots. Are you tending to them? That's number 2, tend to your roots. Daily scripture, prayer, corporate worship, biblical community, not legalism, not check boxes, unless you need that, but a means of grace. And then number 3, rest in your roots. The Lord knows. Man, that's freeing, isn't it? Rest in your roots. If you're in Jesus, you're planted. The Father knows you. The Son has secured you. The Spirit is producing fruit. Don't leave trying harder. Leave trusting deeper. Don't chase hope. Abide in Christ. Don't manufacture peace. Rest in the sovereignty of God. Don't pretend to have joy. Remain in Christ, because hope, peace, and joy are not the roots of the Christian life. They're the fruit of a life planted by streams of living water. In 1996, there was this denomination that had 5.2 million people attending worship services each week. That's pretty impressive. It's across the country. In 1996, 5.2 million people attending worship services each week. There's a number, right? And by the way, I need to mention, let me back up, okay? A couple weeks ago, as I was having the experience of, do you want to be holy? Do you want to be well? Do you want to get better? I listened to Pastor Chad, my friend that I was texting last night, and he had one of those, what do you call them? Reels? Is that what it's, reels? He had a reel on the medias of social, and I watched it, and this is what he said. And so when I texted him last night, I was like, hey, can you send me what you said? Because now I can't find the reel. Apparently it was one of those that goes away after a certain period of time, which is really annoying. So this is what he sent me. And so I'm quoting Pastor Chad in this, but in 1996, this denomination had 5.2 million people attending worship services each week. And over the next 20 years, get this, so from 1996 to 2016, over that 20 years, they baptized 7 million people. It's pretty powerful, right? So 5 plus 7 is what? Whoa. I know it's July. 5 plus 7 is 12. Good job, man. Proud of you, bro. Proud of you. So proud. What year are you going into?
Senior year.
Okay. Senior year. Good job. You're going to do great. Simple math, right? Right? So that should be close to that, right? Close to that. If you know, 5.2 million baptizing 7 million, we should be close to 12 million people. The opposite was true when they measured Sunday attendance 20 years later. After 7 million people came to Christ, they were 24,000 less than when they started 5 million those 20 years ago. So it was less than 5.2 million. Even though they had baptized 7 million more, now they had even less people coming to church and attending the gathering of believers. You picking up what I'm laying down here? Okay. How's that possible? And here's what they discovered. Listen to this. They were reaching people, but struggling to keep people. They were operating like baptism was the finish line of the church's work instead of the starting line of a new life with Christ. Many churches act like salvation is essential, but discipleship is optional. Many churches act like salvation is essential. Many people act like salvation is essential, but discipleship, i.e. growing in Christ, growing in the life of the believer is optional. And therefore, many Christians live like salvation is essential and discipleship is optional. Now hear me, that's not a rebuke. I pray that that's an encouragement to all of us. When we get a hold of God's grace, the Lord knows, being planted by streams of water for growth. When we get a hold of God's grace, and more importantly, God's grace gets a hold of us, we discipline ourselves to walk with the Lord. Why? Because if you know the grace of God, where else in the world would you want to walk? Once you've tasted and seen that He is good, where else would you want to walk? We fight the drift in our life to go back to our old way of thinking and our old way of living. Why? Because we've tasted and seen that He is good. He says, walk before the Lord. Now, I told you I have a risk for you. Never done this before. Any of you like tea? Okay, I'm going to have some for you maybe in just a second. Okay? So, got 2 cups of water here, okay, and I've got 2 tea bags. Who drinks tea right up here? Anybody? Okay, so if I just put the tea bag in there, that's gonna do the trick, right? It's warmish. Okay, so we're going to put that one right in there. And we're hoping for the best here. Okay. So, got some tea. I'm making tea. Kind of. Thanks, Jamie. It's not doing anything. Told you this was a risk. It's kind of changing color. You see that? It's kind of changing color. We're going to go with that. You may not be able to see it, but it's a very light brown. Okay? This is what I believe Psalm 1 is trying to get after. It's changing. It's really changing. I can see it. It's really changing. Let's taste it. Nope. That's really bad. Do you want to be holy? I believe this is holiness. Come on now. Just know, roll with me here. Okay? You notice that the bag has to stay in the water to change colors. This is what I worry about for us. That we're just doing this. That's changing faster. Okay. I should have used this tea bag over here. But you get the point. And that's even red. But we're trying to dip in and out of holiness. What? What are you trying to tell me? Huh? Okay. Well, this flopped. I told you, this is why we have a second service. Because if I'd have done that in the first service before, the second service would have been like, wow, that's amazing. He figured it. Look at that. I've been thinking about this for 2 weeks, y'all. You get the point, right? That we can't plant ourselves, we can't immerse ourselves if we're just dipping in and out. Nothing changes if nothing changes, right? We've got to sit in the presence of God, delight in His Word, meditate on those things day and night. You know what's fascinating to me? Man, we plan this service second week of June. And second week of June, I had not had that conversation with those folks about being better. I had not talked with my friend Chad. I had not seen the theme of things around me of growing up into maturity, growing up into Christ. But we decided back then to end this service with the song Abide, which is only a God thing. I mean, you talk about the sovereignty of the Lord, right? It's a God thing. And that's really what Psalm 1 is talking about. Not are you going to be planted? Where are you going to be planted? Are you going to be planted by streams? Are you going to be planted in a place where you can grow, where you can be stretched? And sometimes that's hard, right? All growth is not clean and smooth and welcomed even. But nothing changes if nothing changes. And my challenge for you, my encouragement for you is don't dip in and out of the things of God. Immerse yourself in them. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. so that all may see your progress, so that all may see, guess what? There's a change in this guy. There's a change in this girl. There's a change in their life. They've done something. They're different. They're different. And so, that's my encouragement for us today. Do you want to be holy? Delight yourself in the things of God. Delight yourself in the gathering of believers. Delight yourself in getting to open His Word. Talk about it when you sit, when you rise. Delight yourself in prayer. Delight yourself. Delight yourself. And when you get to a place where something doesn't make sense or something's confusing or something's super hard, go sit with some people and say, hey, what do I do about this? And say, hey, I want to hear from God's Word. How have you, from the Word of God, handled this, overcome this, dealt with this, dropped your kid off at school and left? How have you, from God's Word, made it through putting IKEA furniture together? Endurance and suffering, it's in James 1. You get the point. Can I pray for you? God, today, I pray for holiness. I pray that we wouldn't just settle for mediocre living. But God, that when we pursue holiness, we don't ask questions like, how much do I need to serve? How much do I need to give? How many times do I need to? It's out of the overflow of our passion and love for you that we just want to be like you. And so I pray for a resolve in your people. I pray for a desire and a passion in your people today to be holy as you are holy. Call us, stir in us for more. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen.